This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Eric McClain's coming up here in about 15 minutes to talk about the Trevor Lawrence showcase, which is coming up here at the top of the next hour. Everything you need to see about Trevor Lawrence throwing the football all over the yard. That's coming up. And Jim Larrañaga, head basketball coach at Miami. And I've said this before, in my humble opinion, I don't vote, don't get a vote, don't want to vote. But I would tell you that Mike Young should be your ACC men's coach of the year. But I'd have Jim Larrañaga number two. I think he's done an incredible job with a team that has just been as beat up and banged up as possible. But both those gentlemen scheduled to join us later in the Power Hour, Wes.
Yep, looking forward to that. We start the hour with a preview of tonight. Oh, yeah, Friday night basketball right here on ACC Network. 8 o'clock, we'll spin you up to Clemson, Little John Coliseum. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner will be there for the coverage of the second meeting of the year between Georgia Tech and Clemson. Tigers and Jackets both arrive kind of in a different light. Georgia Tech, this is, I mean, this is what, game 4 of 5 in 11 days, Pack? And it's been a challenge for Josh Pastner's team, who slipped the other night to Virginia in Atlanta in the second half.
There's a lot riding on both of these teams. Number one for Clemson, great week, right? Beat North Carolina, beat up on Syracuse, some time off. Now you get a chance to have Georgia Tech on a Friday night. You look at the rest of that schedule, it is very manageable for Brad Brunell's club. They can have a lot of momentum, but this is the kind of game that you need to win, especially after the Jackets spanked you the first go-around when you saw them in the ATL. And for Georgia Tech, as I pointed out to you earlier, from February the 10th to February 17th, Georgia Tech's going to play 4 games. The Atlanta Hawks are going to play 5. Puts it in perspective. They're coming off a tough loss, a game that they woulda, coulda, shoulda against Virginia. It got away from them late because that's what Virginia does to people, especially Georgia Tech. Quick turnaround for Clemson, and then a really quick turnaround Sunday to play a physical Pitt team. So this is a big, big weekend for Georgia Tech. They got to get out of here with at least one W somewhere. If you win them both, man, you're stealing. But you can't come back here Monday, Wes, and us talking about Georgia Tech going 0-for for the weekend as far as the bubble, big picture, and everything else. They've been playing good basketball. They want to shoot it like they did the first time they saw the Tigers. But we'll see what happens tonight. Clemson's defense looks like they're getting back to what we saw in December and early parts of January.
Well, I'll tell you this. They make 16 threes again tonight like they did in Atlanta when they won by 18 points. It'll be a wrap.
Yep.
Okay? You can open up the phone lines for half two if that happens. Georgia Tech shot 16 of 26 from three the first time around, 61.5%, 57% from the floor. By the way, they got crushed on the glass, minus 10. But here's the story now. Lots of threes, few turnovers. What did we say the other night? Jackets can't win the turnover battle, don't necessarily win the rebound battle. Got to be able to hit, you know, a decent amount of threes. What did we say? The other night against Virginia, 4 3-point baskets. It's all they made. It's got to be more than that for Josh Pastner, and the rebound margin can't be whacked out. Because low threes and a whacked out rebound margin, and more than likely, it's going to be a bad night at the office. And then you mix in the turnovers, and it's really going to be salted. But here's the thing. Clemson now has an agenda. The Tigers' agenda, and you mentioned, we talked about this in the first hour. Right now, as the standings are set, Clemson does not see another team above 500 the rest of the way in ACC play. Look, shooting it well from the perimeter. Amir Sims has been steady. I think Nick Honor's certainly been a surprise. Clyde Trapp's played well for him, too, here back in the last couple weeks. You know, look, let's be honest. They beat Carolina. They've had some time off. And now here come the Tigers back to the floor. And I'm going to be surprised they don't play well tonight.
I would agree. I think this defense has been really consistently good, other than about a 2-week stretch when they came back from COVID. They just looked totally out of sorts and got blown out. But, Wes, they have as many quad one and quad two wins as anybody in the league. Their strength of schedule has been out of sight. They've beaten Alabama. They've beaten Purdue. They've beaten Maryland. You know, they've beaten Florida State. They've beaten Louisville. They've got the resume packed, loaded, and go. What they need to do now is go on a run. And that schedule, like I said, is really, really manageable. So For the Tigers, you really couldn't have scripted it any better. Yeah, you wish you played better in that two-week stretch that we've seen teams really struggle coming off COVID. But the Tigers are playing good basketball. This is an important game for them tonight as far as the momentum. And like I told you with Georgia Tech, this is two games on Friday and on Sunday. You can't afford to be 0-2. Can't do it.
Well, Clemson has an agenda. Georgia Tech needs wins in order to bolster whatever NCAA hopes they hope to have going down the stretch, right?
Yep.
Jackets have kind of a different lineup facing them than the Tigers do. You want to talk about 40 minutes of critical basketball both ways in 40 minutes just to kind of get something fixed? That would be Duke NC State at 4 o'clock tomorrow in Raleigh on ESPN, Pac. You know, you go figure out the Blue Devils and the Wolfpack. You've done a day's work if you can sort that out.
Well, I can't figure out Duke. They don't defend anybody. I'm going to call them out until they actually start guarding. Like, I remember Duke slapping the floor and, you know, overplaying passing lanes and just, you know, suffocating people, you know, creating easy baskets on the other end. The last two times we've seen them play, they've given up over 90. 90. If they weren't wearing D-U-K-E yep. on the jersey and they were wearing Cream Puff U, you'd go, man, that team's just not any good. That's what you'd say. But because you see yep. D-U-K-E, you're like, well, it's Duke, man. Yeah, I get it. It's Duke. Let's start playing like Duke, right? Let's start getting after people again. I keep telling you, whoever wins the game, great. But I think both of these clubs, the only way to the NCAA tournament is to be great in Greensboro. But they got to start playing better, both of them. No Devin Daniels for NC State. Yeah. That's a problem. You talked about the turnover issues. That's a problem. Duke doesn't defend. That's a problem. There's a reason these teams are where they are in the standings. They have issues. They got to fix them.
NC State, by the way, BPI likes them to win the game, Pack.
Great news for Coach K. His birthday's tomorrow. What a perfect birthday present. BPI thinks NC State's going to win. Duke comes out there. Maybe they'll slap the floor, play some D. I'd love to see it. I want to see Duke playing Duke basketball again.
Much like Carolina Duke a week ago, this will be a completely different environment for this game. By the way, this one in terms of a basketball rivalry gets kind of undersold behind the hoopla of Carolina Duke or Duke Carolina, however you want to formulate the other one. NC State Duke is often very entertaining as well, as you know, Mark.
Well, it is, but again, I'm going to be transparent. Neither team, neither fan base today, this second, as we speak at 9:09 a.m., is thrilled about where they are. Coaching staffs, too. So, I mean, yeah, Duke State have played great games, awesome environments. It doesn't matter if it's Cameron or if it's in Raleigh. That's not what we got this year. We don't have environments, and we don't have two teams right now over 500. I mean, that's the real world. Yeah. So, you know, let's go play. See where it goes. I suspect it'll be entertaining, but I just want to see improvement from both sides. I mean, especially Duke. I mean, I don't think any of us thought before this season started, hey, they may not win the league, but you know what? They'll have something to say about it. Hey, they're 7-8.
Yeah.
7-8. And I saw a stat the other day. This is the first time since March of 74 that Duke and Kentucky are both under 500 at the same time. March of 74.
Ah.
The one and done teams.
Okay.
Just put it in perspective.
Wow. All right. By the way, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander have the call for you 4 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN. 6 o'clock following that on the big network, you get Virginia hosting Carolina in Charlottesville. And as Pac said earlier, the Cavaliers have just dominated this series. BPI likes the Cavaliers big tomorrow, over 79%.
It's good for
Tar Heels have not played since the win at Duke last Saturday, Mark.
You know what? And I know we got Jim Larranaga coming up here, and it's disappointing that the game wasn't played for the reasons that we obviously know. Hopefully everybody's moved on, and more importantly, hopefully everybody's negative with the test. It may be a blessing in disguise. That was a quick turnaround for everybody, those 48-hour trips. So Saturday, Mondays are difficult. And I know North Carolina was on the road, easy trip back, and so forth. But it may be a blessing in disguise in some respects, given what is ahead for the Tar Heels. And it starts tomorrow against a team that's really playing with a ton of confidence and the team to go beat right now in the ACC, the University of Virginia. You mentioned the Heels have lost six straight to the Hoos, and Man, it has not been pretty. I mean, Virginia just suffocates North Carolina. But the Heels are playing good basketball. They've won 7 of 9. I suspect this is going to be the best game of the weekend in the ACC.
Yeah, I think so, too. The thing that interests me is how does Jay Huff, what does that do to Carolina's bigs tomorrow? How does that kind of impact the lineup? Does Virginia play to Carolina or does Carolina play to Virginia in terms of the matchups? Interesting to see how Huff's willingness to stand around the perimeter. Trey Murphy, he's a problem now. Sam Hauser, we know, is a problem. The matchups in the backcourt, interesting, but, you know, Carolina, you can't get into a shooting contest with a team like Virginia, who's as packed offensively as they've been at times this year. I think that game's going to be really, really interesting because you got to have more than one or two guys. I expect to see Cafaro and some of those guys in the lineup a little bit tomorrow for Virginia as well.
Well, to me, if North Carolina's perimeter game was as good as it was against Duke, I think they can make this incredibly fascinating in Charlottesville. If North Carolina's ice cold from the perimeter, they're going to have a problem like they always do, like everybody does against the Hoos. I think the thing I like about what Virginia's doing, I've seen them beat people scoring 80. I'm now starting to see them hold people like NC State and Georgia Tech to, 54 and 49 respectively. It's like old school Virginia where the defense is starting to get it. And, man, offensively, I think this is Tony Bennett's best team, even though he would not confirm that when we asked him that a couple weeks ago. But good game. If North Carolina makes shots, they can make it really, really tough. But, man, Virginia's just playing really good basketball.
You know who else we welcome back to the ACC tomorrow? Florida State. Noles are back for the first time in a couple of weeks. Yep, there you go. They'll host Wake Forest tomorrow at noon. You can see the game on the ACC NX, which is part of ESPN+. Florida State, by the way, Pack, for your knowledge of friends at BPI, have them marked up at 86%.
So I'm surprised it's not higher. They've won 22 straight against ACC teams at home. And I told you, the Deacs have lost 29 in a row against ranked teams on the road.
Hey.
Little surprised BPI only has Florida State at 86%. A little surprised.
You know why? They're accounting for it being the best home court in the ACC, too.
It's a BPI thing, man. We're all just laughing at it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. And we're also going to get you ready for Trevor Lawrence, who will be throwing footballs at a rapid rate coming up here at the top of the hour and impressing NFL scouts that will be stunned and amazed to find out the guy 6'6 could be that talented. Something that we all knew for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. Eric McClain joins us now. Totally overdressed for this appearance. But that's okay.
Yeah, he is.
Totally
overdressed. Got a loan meeting.
What's going on
there? Come on. I figured I'd put on a tie for you guys for once. Come on.
Why?
That's not the reason. You got something else going on. Don't lie to us.
I tell you, probably.
I'm sorry. You're right.
You probably look pretty damn goofy with that suit on in front of that grill this morning, making those omelets on the grill, that Traeger grill.
That's right, Pack. I need to have you guys over, man, and fired up on that thing. Come on.
Hello. I mean, what town do you live in again? Tell everybody what town you live in.
That's right. It changes week to week. I do own property here in Charlotte, but.
The Ford F-150 be over there in about 6 minutes. All you need to do is give us the bat signal. We'll be over there in 2 seconds. All right, coming up of the hour, Trevor Lawrence is going to be throwing this thing all over the yard. And I've already told Wes, if I hear of any NFL scout that's blown away, can't believe what he saw, I'm going to ask them to be fired. what do you expect to see coming up at 10 a.m. here on ACC Network?
Yeah, I think the important thing is that he's doing it. You know, he could have, you know, had this surgery and said, I'm good. You know, I'll see you at the draft and not done anything. So I think it speaks for him just wanting to go out one last time and kind of show off his talent. And, you know, Cornell Powell's going to be there. I think that's going to be excellent for him and a couple other, you know, free agent guys that this is going to be a great opportunity. I heard maybe 16-plus NFL scouts, coaches, GMs are all going to be there. It sounds like the entire Jaguar staff, which is kind of a no-brainer for me, is going to be there. So So, you know, maybe some people just wanted to see him throw in person. Some people haven't had that opportunity throughout the NFL. I understand it. But like you said, Pac, you're not going to see anything different or new or groundbreaking with him throwing the ball. So it will be exciting to see him throw one more time. And, you know, I think it kind of speaks to who he is. You know, the fact that he announced that he's having this surgery. They found a problem, and instead of hiding it and instead of going through an entire NFL season then fixing it on the back half, which he certainly could have done, he wanted to get it taken care of. I think that shows that he is a team-first guy, and he wants this, you know, franchise, whoever just decides to take him, to have him at 100% right now. And so that's the case, and that's kind of why we're seeing all these things happen, and they just had to speed it up. The doc said, hey, look, you need to do this now. You need to get rid of this surgery. You need to take this surgery. So, obviously, he had to move his pro day up a month.
All right, Eric, I want to ask you, I want to get into the minutia of this a little bit from this standpoint. Is there a throw today that separates him to the next level? To me, it's the one where he rolls and throws across his body. Now, that's the one to me that's the next level throw. You don't see it very often in the college game. You see it from the really good players in the NFL. Is that the one today that if you're watching this event, that's the separator?
You know, there are certainly things that we say that's an NFL throw, or you hear analysts say that all the time when watching the college game. So it's the deep comeback. It's throwing against when you're rolling out to the left instead of the right and having to twist and turn your body. The thing is with that, Wes, for me, is we've seen it so many times that with him at Clemson. So maybe it is the fact that it is in person. I think one thing that will be interesting if they even do it, I know this is kind of a test that he hasn't had the, you know, correct amount of time to actually practice for and get ready for, but just seeing him under center. I mean, I don't think we ever saw him go under center at Clemson. If he does that today, but again, it's something that you have to get used to in practice. He's had what, like 4 weeks out in California training. I'm sure they've done under center things, but that's something that, you know, people are going to look at, but I don't know how much stock you put into it.
Are we being serious here? I mean, we have
something to talk about, right, Pat?
Well, I mean, I know that. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to be a smart aleck about it, but it's like, hey, this guy is a baller, right? This guy's a baller. So
no
under
question.
Center, shotgun, you know, throwing it with his left hand, this guy can play, well, man. What are we doing?
That's what I thought was so interesting. You know, I reached out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wes. I reached out to his agent and said, look, why is he doing this? Well, what's the point of this pro day? What can he show us? And he simply said it's to show that he's a competitor. He wanted to throw. That's the only thing. I do not expect anything to change, no matter for the better or for worse. Whatever happens, I mean, he could go 0 for 40 today. Guy's not catching his passes. He's still going to be the first overall pick.
Right.
All right, Mac, here's the other thing I'll add. You mentioned the centerpiece, and you and I both kind of run in the circles on Saturdays and Sundays a little bit here. So you talk to guys that are connected at the next level. It's my understanding Jacksonville is prepared to gear everything around him, including kind of which way they're going to lean in free agency, the way they're going to build their football program. So really today, as Packer said, he could stand up there and throw it backwards behind his back or throw it over his head. It doesn't matter. But he could hit Urban Meyer between the eyes with it, for all I care. Jacksonville is prepared to build their entire program, their entire franchise, around what they have right now and what they think offensively works best with him.
Yeah, that's the same thing that I've heard, and it's exciting to hear that, number one, to kind of know where you're going. Now, of course, anything can change, but it does sound like everything is going to be centered around how can we make this team better with Trevor Lawrence as our quarterback? How can we build the offense, the offensive system, offensive players? I think you're absolutely correct, and maybe it's just they want to meet him. You know, maybe it's Jacksonville wants to come up and be able to shake his hand and in that type of environment, and, you know, maybe they make a statement today. You know, I'm not sure the overall point of this entire day, but it's fun for us to talk about, and it gives us some extra work and some football and basketball season.
I tell you what, the only autograph I'd give if I was Trevor Lawrence today would be on that first pick overall number one selection with two commas on the bottom of it where it says X Trevor Lawrence. That's right. That one. Everything else I'd go, yeah, you guys figure this thing out. The guy is just a great player. And again, at 10 a.m. here on ACC Network, he will showcase that once again, throwing laser beams all over the place. And those wide receivers better be ready to catch passes. By the way, real quick. We just put a list on this week regarding College Football 21. And this was an S&P Plus, Bill Connelly doing his thing. And he laid out a preseason top 10 that had the Atlantic Coast Conference with more teams in the top 10 than any other league in America. Clemson was 2, Miami was 8, North Carolina 10. Does that surprise you?
The Miami and North Carolina, I thought those would be switched. I mean, I guess that's assuming, you know, Derek King going to be back healthy by the start of the season, which that's everything that we've heard. So I guess that's what you have to base your kind of guesses, predictions upon. But I would switch those two. I think North Carolina, although they're losing so much talent, and I understand that the production, the numbers, I mean, you're talking about like 60% of the offensive yardage that they're losing. But we saw flashes in that bowl game against Texas A&M. We saw young wide receivers ready to step up. We may see them throw the ball more. We saw the transfer come in from Tennessee for North Carolina. So I think those guys are going to be the real deal. I know I said all that a year ago, but I fully expect to see that. And I think by preseason, you know, Clemson will probably be number one.
All right, there we go. And that puts us in, place for, as Pack and I've talked about, maybe the most important non-conference game of the year to be played the opening week of the season with Clemson, Georgia, and Charlotte, right?
Oh, yeah, right here in our backyard. Hopefully we're all live at that. Wouldn't that be fun if we did some live coverage at that event? But I think that's going to be the biggest non-conference game of the season. I think it's going to be the most important. And, I mean, you talk about fireworks, too. California quarterbacks meeting on the East Coast, guys that played against each other in high school. There's going to be a ton of hype, a ton of excitement surrounding that game. And then the outcome, ultimately, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those teams square off here in Charlotte.
No doubt about that.
Hey, by the way, before we let you go, I know you're a junkie on hoops. Don't act like you aren't because you already played
that card a year ago.
You told us how big a junkie you are. You want to give us an ACC basketball thought here? You got any kind of perspective you want to share with us?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's obviously a big week, you know, for ACC hoops. A little bit of a down year. You know, the blue bloods aren't doing what we normally expect. The new blood in Florida State, if we could just get them off a COVID pause, man, they look like one of the best teams in the country. But I'm interested to see Virginia. You know, I think that they are, you know, the number one team in this conference. I think that offensively, this is the best team that Tony Bennett maybe has ever had. They're at least playing that way. The way they kind of have inverted their bigs and can really stretch you with Big J Huff and Hauser there shooting the three ball. The biggest thing with them, though, is when Kihei Clark is in, you know, distributor mode, when he's able to defer and really, you know, get that offense rolling, I think that's when they are at their best. So interested to see them. And then North Carolina, you know, can they continue to have that breakout performance like we saw against Duke? Can we see that guard play be more consistent? That's been the biggest thing for them. You look at North Carolina historically, it's built on elite guard play, you know, guys that are grown up, and maybe we saw that happen against Duke. We know they're huge. We know that they're going to rebound, you know, 40% of their misses, which is outstanding, but they do miss a lot. So that'll be interesting. In that matchup this weekend, who's going to play to whose strength? I think both teams have enough pride, Virginia and North Carolina. They're just going to play their game, and we'll see what happens.
Good stuff. How about that, Packer?
I like
it. How about that bomb?
You know what? That you know, Eric, what? Mac, that is why you are verified on Twitter. That response right there.
And so is Packer as of today.
Right there.
Hey, you know what?
Oh, he got
you know
it.
What?
Come
we
on,
would
Mac.
Ask for
did he get the check?
Yeah, he got the check. He's very excited about it, can't you tell?
Welcome to the club. Hey, your jacket is in the mail. I'm proud of you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Really fired up about it.
Usually we'd ask for a grill or a case of the beverages or something like that, but instead we're going to send you a Packer and Durham dog treat for Sandy.
Oh, man. Sam would love that. You see her right here behind me. She's got her personal headshot up here. She'd love that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not sending that, though, because we didn't get a cooler. We didn't get a Yeti deal. We didn't get any of that. So we're not getting
We can trade. I'll trade you a Yeti cooler for a dog toy. That's a good trade.
Out of here. Out of here. Tell Khaki hello. Have a great day. Appreciate you doing this, even though you look like you're going to get a loan certified.
That's right. I got to go get this money. Y'all be good.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday. Eric McClain all dressed up for Trevor Lawrence, throwing it all over the yard, coming up here in about 25 minutes or so. Let's go down to beautiful South Florida, because the head basketball coach.
How good would it be there?
You know, it's always nice. It's always nice in Coral Gables. Head basketball coach of the Miami Hurricanes joins us, Jim Larrañaga. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Can you see my backyard from
window
in the back there?
Listen, there's never a bad day. Never, ever a bad day down in South Florida.
75 degrees and sunny.
You know, Coach, yesterday I was doing a radio show and some guy called me from Canada and said, it's -5 up here in Ottawa. And the next caller was from Arizona and said, hey, I don't mean to rub their nose in it, but it's 72 right now in Arizona. So something tells me that Jim Boeheim, if he's watching the show this morning, is cussing you right now with that 77 forecast you just gave us. So nevertheless, it's always beautiful down there, man. Always nice.
Yeah, well, we're headed to Notre Dame on Sunday. And the last time I looked, it was 16 degrees and snow.
Yeah, but you get to leave. You get to leave. I mean, so, you know, you gotta get mentally tough for Bray and the boys, and you can say, okay, we've done this. Get a W, hopefully, and let's get back home and put some sunscreen on.
Yeah. These trips are very challenging for players, you know. You go from 75-degree temperature to 16 and snow. You don't know what you're heading into, how much snow there's going to be. You know you've got to dress warm, but do you need boots? How do you get from the plane to the bus and the bus to the hotel and get to the arena and not be freezing?
You have had an interesting week. Obviously, you know, overtime loss to Virginia Tech. You're going to Chapel Hill to play. Game doesn't happen. Now you get the rest of the week off, and you don't play till Sunday. The start and stop, though, is kind of been the norm of the season, hadn't it? I mean, you've been at this so long. I'm going to say almost 50 years collectively. How do you put this one in perspective now that you're, better than three-quarters of the way through the regular season?
Yeah, this is my 50th year in coaching, and I started out as an assistant at Davidson in 1971. This has been the most unusual year in my coaching career. The funny thing is, until Monday, we had played every game. We had not had a single player, coach, or manager test positive for COVID. We haven't missed any practices. The only problem is we haven't had players to practice with.
Right.
We've had we have 12 scholarship players, and we've had at least 5 scholarship players out for almost every practice this season. And it's been very, very difficult to prepare our team to play. And I'll give you a situation. Yesterday we had 8 scholarship players and 2 walk-ons, 10 guys, which was very, very unusual for this year. And Chris Likes was practicing. We actually saw Chris Likes in practice gear, practicing full, until there was about 15 minutes left in practice, and he hurt that ankle again.
Oh.
It was unbelievable. I said, no, you cannot get hurt again. So we don't know if we're going to have Chris for this weekend or not. I'll find out today how bad he re-injured it yesterday. But he just did it, you know, like tweaked it. So I'm hoping that he'll be able to practice and play on Sunday.
Coach, I told you this before we started our interview live here on the show. And I mean this in all sincerity. I've said it a couple times already on this show. In my opinion, as we sit here on February the 12th, Mike Young should probably be the ACC Coach of the Year, given the job he's done at Virginia Tech. And I've said that you should be number two. And I know you're going to sit there and say, no, and I get all that. But given what you just told us, with the injuries, not to mention COVID and everything else that's tied into this, you have done an amazing job taking your team with whatever is there to play and been more than competitive. Forget about wins and losses a second. I mean, every time I turn your guys on the game, doesn't matter if you're playing Louisville and beating them or if you're playing Team X, Y, or Z, the games are close and competitive. And quite frankly, given what you've got to play with versus everybody else versus what you could have had with your whole roster, these games shouldn't be close. You've done a great job, and your kids have played so hard this year. And that's, to me, attributed to you and your staff of getting those kids to buy in and believing that you can win games.
Well, I'll agree with you on a couple of things that you mentioned. Number one, I think Mike Young has done a tremendous job, not just this season, but just what he inherited at Virginia Tech and the mountain they had to climb to get to the point that they are now. I think he's a terrific coach and a really good guy, and his players play hard. And I thought our game against Virginia Tech, especially the first 5 or 10 minutes, was the best defense we've seen all year. And I thought our guys played the best defense we've played all year in that first 10 to 15 minutes. And then in the second half, they were sensational offensively. We were not able to keep pace for a while, but then we made some adjustments and our guys just did not give up. They kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and it ended up being an overtime game, and unfortunately we lost. But I will say our players have never put their head down. They've tried to learn from every experience, whether we won a game or lost a game, and they've done a great job with COVID. The president of the University of Miami, Dr. Julio Frank, set down some protocols for athletics, and our players followed them to a T, and as a result, we've had no positive tests, not players, not coaches, not managers. So I'm very proud of our team for the effort they've given. Of course, we'd like to have a lot more wins, but we will have, I believe, 8 scholarship players only for the first time in a month this Sunday. So I got my fingers crossed that will remain true.
Coach, when it's good, it's been good this year. And arguably the most improved player in this league is Isaiah Wong. I know you were optimistic about him a year ago when we talked. We had him on the show last week, a fantastic young man to talk to. I got to believe he has really delivered to what not only your expectation is, but maybe even above that.
Well, I had a conversation with Chris Likes earlier this week about Isaiah. And what we were talking about is the backcourt we envisioned, the 3-guard offense that we were anticipating, was Chris Likes, Isaiah Wong, and Cam Augusti. And then we were without Chris and have been without him since December the 4th. We were without Cam Augusti for 7 games. And Isaiah Wong just took the responsibility of trying to lead us to wins. And he's had some incredible games. Even games we lost, he's been a major factor. He's made so many what you would call game-winning type shots. Like the other day against Virginia Tech, he hit a 3 with like 14 seconds to go or 7 seconds to go. And it ended up, we didn't win the game, but he has stepped up and been a real leader for us this year. And I think he's very well deserving should he win the most improved player. He certainly is a great candidate for that award.
Coach, you know, I know it's been rough as far as the injuries go, but in some respects, it's also given the opportunity for other players to step up. And don't you think that's going to pay dividends down the road that, you know, knock on wood, when we get to the 21-22 season, hey, you know what? That experience will come into play, and you're due. You are so overdue to have a year of no injuries. You've now gone really back-to-back seasons with, if something could go haywire, it's gone haywire. And then you throw in the fact that from a COVID perspective, until Monday's game with North Carolina, you've had to play all those games with both hands tied behind your back. So I just have a funny feeling eventually all of this is going to pay dividends for you down the road.
Well, I certainly hope so. Our players and coaching staff deserve it. I've got a great coaching staff who've been with me a long time. Chris Caputo, Adam Fisher, Bill Courtney, Lamont Franklin. These guys have worked their tail off. They've worked with individual players to help them improve. You see the improvement in Isaiah Wong, but a guy like Anthony Walker has improved dramatically. Right. Nasir Brooks was new to our program, but he's a great addition. And with the NCAA, making it possible for players to come back next year, it'd be incredible for our basketball program if many of these seniors who will already have graduated, some of them will have their master's degree already, to see if any of them would come back and try to lead us to victory next year. Now, Sam Wardenburg in particular didn't even get a chance to play a single game. Broke his foot, had to have surgery. And he's been at every practice. He's been at every game. He's worked his tail off in terms of shooting, because he's been in like a boot where he can stand. Can't put any weight on that foot, but he just keeps shooting, and he's getting better and better at that. So we're very hopeful that someone like Sam Wardenburg would choose the option of coming back and playing in what would be his sixth season.
Huh. It's interesting because we've broached this topic with a couple of different coaches across a broad number of sports. The extra year in your particular case, that extra year, Coach, could be incredibly beneficial to what your program needs, given the tumultuous piece of this year and maybe even to a degree last year as well, right?
Yeah, I think COVID-19 has impacted not just college basketball or college athletics, but the entire world. And what I've been very fearful of is this variant, because I've gotten both my vaccines, but I will not go anywhere without a mask. I continue to self-distance. We talk to our players every day about following the protocols here at Miami. And if they can all stay safe through this season and nobody get COVID, I'll say that, okay, we got to chalk this 2021 season off and just say, hey, everybody come back. Let's come back healthy. Let's have a year where we can practice every day and get ready for games every week and see what this past year could have been, but in 21-22.
Coach, one more question for me. The level of concern that you have that we could pull off the ACC tournament and an NCAA tournament is what?
Challenging, at least. You know, we live in the state of Florida. Our university has far more strict protocols than a lot of the businesses in our state. So our players have had to stay away from every restaurant, every movie theater, every grocery store, because you don't want to be exposed to this. And then to try to bring teams from all over the ACC footprint to play an ACC tournament in one location is going to be very, very challenging. What do you do if one team decides not to play? They opt out and say, hey, we're not going to go to the ACC tournament. And then it creates a domino effect that the top three or four teams decide, you know, it's not worth it. We're all going to be in the NCAA tournament. Let's bypass the ACC tournament and just get ready for the NCAAs. And the NCAAs are all going to Indianapolis. I think this has been so complicated and has been discussed, the various options, since back in last March. And we have only had the Carolina game this past Monday. You know the circumstances to that. We were there ready to play when we found out the circumstances we would be dealing with it. And our players we're fearful. They just said, hey, we haven't had anybody get it. Why would we expose ourselves to that chance? Now the same thing is going to be true in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. So I'm very hopeful that both tournaments will come off. I think it's important for college basketball to be able to complete this season, just like when you watch the NBA play in the Orlando bubble, they were able to complete their season, including the playoffs. So hopefully we'll be able to do the same.
Coach, always great to visit with you. Look forward to seeing your team Sunday night here on the network.
Thank you, guys.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, quite a week. A little bit of everything this week on the show. Really, I'm telling you, we've had cancellations, postponements, surprise games. We got football. We got lacrosse going on. Trevor Lawrence is about ready.
Wrestling.
Wrestling's rocking. Baseball, softball right around the corner. Softball
counting down
today.
To the Bojangles, counting down to the biscuits for the boys and Chester. Packers weekly.
10-5. Look at that.
Bacon, Chester. Egg, and cheese, yeah, right?
Fuller hasn't moved much, but Chester's he's ready to go. Chester knows it's almost time for Bojangles. Almost.
Chester, let's go.
Chester.
Let's get it going, big fella.
You want to go with Bojangles? Huh? Yeah, you know it.
Oh, look at
it. You mentioned the word Bojangles.
Go,
look at this. Sign of life.
Oh,
they know.
The fin was up. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Almost time for biscuits, boys. 10:05.
All right. I tell you what, let's roll the menu out there since these boys are on the way getting in the F-150 for the ride to the Bojangles. Here's the Bojangles weekend menu. Kids, I'm telling you, Friday night, ACC Network starts at 6 with the duels. Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison sitting right there for Pitt and NC State. Then Dan Bonner, Mike Monaco, got to follow that show with Georgia Tech Clemson Hoops from Little John. Saturday, look at here now. We've plugged in some lacrosse on you. BC Syracuse is basketball at 2. Jacksonville at Carolina for lacrosse at 6. And then Sunday, we got 2 women's, 2 men's games. By the way, Mike Monaco, Chris Patola have coverage of Pitt and Georgia Tech at 4. And then Paul Biancardi and I will have Miami Notre Dame at 6. And possibly Chris Likes on the floor, it sounds like, from Coach Larinaga today. So that's the Bojangles weekend menu right here on ACC Network.
Excellent. That's a full menu is what that is, which is beautiful.
Yeah, it
Love
is.
It. And tonight's
what
a great
week,
night.
Huh?
And tonight's a great
week.
Night, too, because you get the wrestling. You got Georgia Tech Clemson, really an important game for both. You get the bald guys rocking and rolling late night. And, again, tomorrow's going to be, Mike Young popcorn time. Grab it because it's going to be good tomorrow, too.
Yep.
So, excellent. Really cool weekend coming up.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.